Welcome to Tart Club. Turgid Tomes is a wanton book club where we get together every other Wednesday to eat, drink, and discuss the latest romantical read. If you happened upon this podcast and don't like the F word, or boners, now's your chance to GTFO. This is your official explicit content warning. This podcast is highly inappropriate and listener discretion is advised.
Ugh, get me away from leather for a little while.
Greetings, fellow tarts. Ashley here, head hussy in charge. And we are starting February's theme, still a better love story than Twilight, with Dark Lover by J.R. Ward. And we've got Danny here with us to discuss. Hello, Danny.
Hello, hello.
We're discussing this book right here. I have it.
So how old were you when you first read these books? Because there's a lot of them.
Yes, Dark Lover, the Black Dagger Brotherhood series by J.R. Ward. This is first in the series. Yes, they are very old. This first book was published in 2005.
Oh, wow.
That is so 19 years ago. Yes, that is 19 years ago. But I want to say, I think I read them in my teens. Like at some point, early 20s. I think it was like late teens or mid-teens. I don't fucking know. So these are clearly, we're just going to start it off. These are clearly very dated and inappropriate and problematic as fuck.
No. Stop it. The 2000s were perfect. We didn't do anything wrong back then.
It's like when you watch a movie from the early aughts or like the late 90s and it absolutely did not age well and you're just cringing. That's reading this book.
It's so, definitely one of those things where there's more stuff that's, it's like a pleasant surprise when you watch something from the past and it has aged well and it's like, oh.
Yeah.
How refreshing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's few and far between at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want to watch anything I used to watch like in my teens anymore because I already know. I'm like, oh god.
It's like I'm not going to love this like I used to. If I don't rewatch it, it can live in a happy little bubble in my brain.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, we're obviously going to need drinks before we get into this. All right, Danny, what drink did you pick to go with this book?
I'm drinking a triple espresso.
Oh, okay.
To stay awake and alert, just like our little vampy friends need to stay awake and alert. There's a war going on. You need to be at your, whatchamacallit, aware of everything at all times.
Tip-top shape, alert.
Yes.
Okay.
What about you?
Obviously, any kind of red wine, because it stands for blood. Yeah, I didn't get too into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, red wine. Red wine, blood, it vampires, that's all you need. And for the snack, Rage was talking about, oh shit, what's the doggin's name? Fitz. Fitz or Fritz?
Fritz.
Fritz. The doggin, which is like the servant of Darius's house. He now serves Wrath because Wrath has taken over because Darius got blown up. So he was making some type of pastry and Rage was like obsessed with it. And he's telling all the other guys like, oh yeah, man, these little things. I don't remember if it's macarons, scones.
I can't remember.
I can't remember either. And I forgot to write it down because I'm dumb. But so I'm thinking snack. What goes with red wine? Pastries. Get you a nice little pastry set up. Okay, we got a lot to cover. So let's just...
Let's just get the fuck into it.
Moving on to the author herself. The Warden, if you will. They do call her the Warden.
That's pretty fun.
A little bit about the author. J.R. Ward is the number one New York Times bestselling author of numerous novels, including the Black Dagger Brotherhood series. After graduating from law school, Ward began working in healthcare in Boston and spent many years as a chief of staff of one of the premier academic medical centers in the nation. She lives in the South with her incredibly supportive husband and her beloved golden retriever. Writing has always been her passion, and her idea of heaven is a whole day of nothing but her computer, her dog, and her coffee pot. She also writes under the name Jessica Bird. So she does have several series. I think she writes Jessica Bird. It's contemporary romance. which is also still going to be dark and twisty. I think she just came out with a Firefighter series somewhat recently. And there's a Fallen Angel series that has crossover characters from BDB. And I actually read the first two or three books of that and kind of forgot about it. But I'm going to get back into it because that series was really good. It was fucked up. Fucked up. Okay, Black Dagger Brotherhood, it's a lot. It's the BDB. From here on out, it's the BDB.
BDB.
Not BSB. BDB. No. There are two or three spinoff series. There's a lot. Like, the Warden is busy.
Too busy, sounds like.
I know, right? It's wild. Okay, so that's on the author. All right, let's just jump right into the Brazen Book Report. Danny, how would you summarize this book?
Journalist Beth gets the story of a lifetime when her dad mysteriously blows up in a car, thrusting her into the dangerous den of vampires where love and other changes are in the cards.
It's not funny. Her dad but gets is, blown up unbeknownst to her. I mean, like,
when I first started, I did the audiobook too. When I first started listening to it, and it's like, where is this going? And then he just blows up, and I'm like, oh, okay. Well, don't get attached to anyone. That's how we're going to start.
Right, setting the tone. Nice.
Yeah. How did you summarize it?
Big bad vampire has to rescue half-breed damsel. Pretty much. Okay, yeah. So basically, Beth is half human, half vampire. She has no idea. Her dad gets blown up in the beginning. Darius, he's in the BDB. Their leader is Wrath. He's the last pure blood vampire out there. So Darius goes to Wrath. He's like, hey, I've got a half-breed daughter. She's coming up on her transition time. She's not going to make it unless she has your sweet, sweet, royal, pure blood. Wrath is like, fuck no. I'm outie, unironically. And then... We're going to get to quotes. I can't wait to get the quotes. So Wrath is like, absolutely not. Get the fuck out. So they have this little meeting confrontation. His ask takes place in a club. So Darius gets in his sporty car to go home. He blows up. And obviously after that, Wrath feels like a dick. And he's like, well, his dying request was that I take care of his daughter and like try to make sure she doesn't die. Beth is a journalist. She's super hot. Everyone says so. She gets attacked. This stupid frat bro and his friend try to assault her. She gets away. She's traumatized. She's figuring out if she wants to report it or not. All right. So like the night of or the next night, Wrath is like, all right, gonna check on this lady. And I don't know if he knows at that point. It's like, dude, she was just traumatized. And he just shows up his big bulky ass, like in her apartment in the middle of the night, looking all scary and shit with his sunglasses on at night. She freaks out. He erases her memory. He's like, okay, that didn't go well. So then he tries again. He breaks into her apartment in the middle of the night and it's pound town straight away. They're just like, let's do it. They sleep together. It's like, okay. Do we have names? Do we know names? Do we know middle names? Do we know birth dates? Do we know lat? It's a mess. All right. So then clearly it's straight to the bone zone. She's obsessed with him. At this point, Beth thinks that he is a cop because she's been dealing with Butch, who is a detective, who was kind of handling her assault case. And then the murder of her dad. At that point, she shows up on the scene of her dad's explosion or whatever. She doesn't actually realize it's her dad at that point.
Yeah, they were just giving her a scoop like, hey, we have a lead on a story. Some guy blew up in a car. You want to come check it out?
She's like, yeah, sure. Has no idea it's her dad. So other stuff happens. Wrath has some of the other brothers guard her when she's not staying at Darius's house with him. Obviously they fall in love. Wrath's out killing things and people. She goes through her transition. They have sex the whole time because that's clearly what you have to do during your transition. And then you know, they get into some fights. There's these bad guys. The lessers are created, they're technically like undead, kind of. They're created by the Omega bad guy. Scribe Virgin is the creator of the vampires. Good guy. That's how that works. So there's this whole battle, like, going on, like, in the midst of everything, Beth's transition and everything. There's this whole underlying war that's happening between the Lessers and the vampires. There are different kinds of vampires. There are the warriors, the Black Dagger Brotherhood, and there are the civilians, which are just, like, the regular Joe Schmoes. Oh, what's the name? Then there are the hoity-toities. Fuck, I forgot what they're called. It's what Marissa and Havers are.
Oh, they're almost like
aristocrats, but what's the fucking name? Oh, Glimmera? Yes. Maybe. Okay, so I think it's called the Glimmera. So they're like the aristocratic line of vamps, like the wealthy, the elite.
I think their blood is also special, isn't it?
I think their blood is a bit more pure.
Like, maybe. That's why Wrath could only feed on her before.
Yeah, so Marissa is one of the, I think it's Glimmera. She's been, technically, I think she was Wrath's Shellen.
Yeah,
but
without
he wasn't
the emotional connection.
Yeah, so he
or
was basically
physical.
I mean, not, she wanted it to happen, but he was basically like, no, thank you. Just blood only, please. It's a fucking lot, okay? It's a lot. This is the first book. It's a bunch of world building. But I will say, it's not info dumpy.
No.
But since it's not info dumpy, like, it'll be a sidelines, and you gotta snatch those things up, or if you miss them, you're gonna miss like a whole section of what's going on. Towards the end, Beth gets kidnapped by the Lessers. Obviously, Wrath goes in and rescues her, happily ever after. Butch is just having a hard time. We'll talk
He's
about
there.
That. He's there. He's there
He's
for everything.
He's just there.
Just some poor human cop guy that just keeps getting shit on. It's fine. But yeah, it's a lot. But basically, like, that's what you need to know about Beth and Wrath. And obviously, we're going to be talking about Butch, our fave. Good quotes? Were there any quotes you liked? Oh, this is going to be good. this is going to be great.
As I was listening, I tried to, like keep an ear out for anything that caught my attention. But really, it was just kind of like Butch's, not even like one-liners, but just like things that he would say where it's like, oh, Butch. Like, he made like a Yankees joke that was kind of funny. And then he said, tell me something, boys. Do you wear that leather to turn each other on? I mean, is it a dick thing with you all? It's like,
he's such a fucking troll.
Like, do you realize how much danger you're in right now? And you're picking on them for wearing leather? Oh my God.
It's like, first of all, stop being homophobic. Second of all, Butch.
Yeah, it's like, oh God.
He's funny as shit.
Like, the things that come out of his mouth, like, just makes you shake your head.
Yes. That's why we love him.
Yes. Any quotes that you picked out?
Okay, speaking of Butch, we're going to talk about Butch first, and then we're going to talk about the dated terminology, which made me fucking die and cackle and cringe all at once.
God.
Okay, this is like a subplot that happens. Butch is a cop. He gets fired for unnecessary roughness, and then he basically gets let go. He ends up at Darius's house. He's staying with the vamps because he doesn't really have anywhere else to go. So he's just kind of tagging along with them after they have their initial pissing contest, beating the shit out of him thing. He's like, all right, we're cool. We're friends. So then he's just there. He actually meets Marissa, who is Wrath's like original Shellen, but basically he just treated her like takeout, like a blood bag takeout situation. He's like, we don't have an emotional connection. It's just about feeding. That's it. And she's like, oh, but I thought we could be more. And he's like, no. All right, that's how that goes. So poor Marissa, poor Butch, they meet, sparks fly, and at one point they kiss, and Butch nearly rips an arm off a chair. he's just so out of control. So I think this is after they kiss, and this is just Butch thinking to himself, and these are the things he says that just make you giggle and just shake your head. This is right after they kiss. Man, he wasn't going to need a stress test anytime soon. If his heart could get through a kiss from her, he could probably run a marathon while dragging a car behind him, sideways to the road. Oh my God. You're like, oh, it's the dad jokes. It's the dad jokes. That's basically what Butch has all the time.
Well, it gets me because like he is supposed to be like really attractive, but
Yes.
also has no game. Like
Yes, it's
the things that he says to
hilarious.
Marissa is like, "Are you real?" And she's like, "I'm real." And he's like, "Can I touch your hair?" It's like, is this your
God.
first day talking to a woman?
Oh my God. And I think this is before, I don't think he realized they were vampires yet because she didn't dematerialize in front of him yet. So this is just him talking to
Well, also, that was like the other
a
fucked up
woman.
thing because he's a cop and they do use the term prostitute
Oh,
in this book, so just a
yeah.
heads up on that.
They like that
Yeah.
H word,
Even
which,
worse.
yeah, I think they mentioned the P, the H, and it's like, how about the SW, the sex worker? But again, this book is almost 20 years old. We just recently started saying using sex worker out of respect.
Yeah.
That like we've only done that the last like 5 years, maybe 4.
5 to 10 years, yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't realize that he's with vampires, so he's like, these guys are drug dealers. I can't believe I'm a cop hanging out with drug dealers. What has Beth
God,
gotten us into?
they're
And
sex trafficking this woman.
then he's like, oh my God, this is the most beautiful woman I've seen. Too bad she's their personal sex worker and she's acting all innocent, playing this doe-eyed game with me, but I'm
Oh my
too wise
God.
for that. Like he really puts his foot in his mouth and it's like she must really like him because after that it's just like a funny misunderstanding, like, oh, I'm not what you think I am. And he's like, oh, I really put my foot on that
We're
one. I'm
gonna
sorry.
talk about that's gonna come up later, my favorite part. So the cringe, you're just listening and re or reading, you're just like, Butch, no, Butch, shut up, shut up.
Stop
No.
Yeah.
Okay, so pretty much anything Butch says is great, but these were, I'm sure there are more. I'm sure there are more. I did not catch them all, but these phrases were said almost 20 years ago. Off the chain. I'm outie. Grown vampire man says I'm outie. Got some grind tonight. I had never heard anyone use this phrase back in that time frame, but who's to say? So I think Wrath is speaking, I can't remember what language they speak.
It's just an old foreign language. I don't know if they ever really specify. And if they did, it was like
Yeah.
once and I missed it.
The vampires speak like an ancient language, maybe known, maybe unknown, didn't quite catch that. But Wrath is, I think he's like hooking up with Beth or something, and he's speaking to her. Oh, they call it the old language. Yeah, so they speak old language. Old language.
Could be
Ah,
anything.
the book, this terminology in this book. So he's speaking to her in the old language. She doesn't get it. I think he's talking like he's saying all these sweet nothings, like, oh, you're the love of my life, you're my Shellen forever, forever, love you, blah, blah, blah. And I think he says the word Shellen, and she's like, is that vampire talk for bitch? I'd be wondering too. I'd be like, what is this guy saying? What is he telling me right now? My personal favorite, we'll wrap on this. My personal favorite, Pimp Juice.
Oh gosh.
Danny, do you remember the song by Nelly called Pimp Juice?
Well, there was a drink too, wasn't there?
Yes, this unlocked a memory from the vault.
Well, the music descriptions kind of cracked me up 'cause like
Oh, D12.
here's some hard vampires and like I don't know, usually like if you're watching like something like Underworld or Van Helsing, you've got like Evanescence going, or like some kind of like dark melodic rock music, which is kind of what I
Yeah.
was expecting. But like,
No.
no, the music that they're playing is really based up rap music. It's like, oh, these guys are horde.
Which ties into negative stereotyping and cultural appropriation, which we're going to get into.
Yeah.
We have not forgotten. This did not fly over our heads what was happening. We did not forget. We're going to get more into that in least favorite parts. So basically Pimp Juice comes up when Wrath is basically all he doesn't want any of the other any of the other Brotherhood guys around Beth because he's feeling a tad insecure. And, you know, Rage is Rage. They call him Hollywood. He's super fucking hot. Everyone wants him.
Sleeps around.
Yeah. Oh, what was it? Oh, there's another quote. Like, oh, if sex were fast food, Rage would be morbidly obese.
Yeah. Well, and then there's a quote. Like that. There's something at the end where he's like, oh, until I find my mate, I'm just going to keep plowing through women. It's like, good God.
Chill out.
Which I think his book is the next one, right?
It is. So he doesn't want her around Rage, aka Hollywood, aka Nymphomaniac. He doesn't want her around Zadis because he terrifies everybody. He doesn't want her around Fury, who is Zadis' twin, even though he's celibate. He doesn't trust it because he has just beautiful mane of hair. And then obviously she almost made out with Butch, so that's a problem. Oh yeah, no, they did. She made Butch. She kissed Butch, or Butch kissed her because I'm gonna go for it. And you're like, oh, Butch.
And then she was like, that was really nice, but I didn't feel anything. And he's like, well,
he pretty much said, he's like, I'm not doing it for you, am I? She's like, no, sorry. You're like, Butch.
He still held that candle, though.
No.
I mean, if he did care, genuinely.
Like, no, and he does. Like, throughout, he doesn't get his story until, like, four books in. So he's around that whole time. So, like, he genuinely gets, yeah, he's just there. Favorite part?
I liked the general kind of overall world building. I feel like it's a little different from other vampire books that I've read, you know, kind of the whole like being half breed or just when you reach a certain age transitioning into a vampire was kind of fun. And then you know how Wrath is the only like purebred vampire and he can only have certain types of blood and stuff, so I thought that was pretty interesting, like a different take on it.
Well, also Wrath, if he were to drink from a human, it would not sustain him. He needs the blood of other vampires. Vampires feed off of each other.
And I thought that was an interesting concept. And I also kind of liked, even though I don't like Cavers that much, I kind of like that he's a doctor and doing research, and almost kind of like in True Blood, how they come up with the True V or whatever it is, like the synthetic blood. I mean, ultimately, he was trying to find a solution for his sister, so she wasn't the Shallon for Wrath anymore. What about you? Favorite parts?
World building as well. It was a different take, especially back then. Obviously, you know, Twilight's all the rage. When did Twilight come out, actually? I don't know.
2005.
Oh, wow. This came out the same. Oh, man. I feel old now. Damn.
Yeah. I know. That one also did not age well.
For different reasons. By the way, this is like 20 plus books. So much happens. And as you go along, the world building expands. You get the basic layout in the first few books, but as it goes on, it gets intricate. You start realizing things might not have been what they seemed, and it just it gets really wild. I only made it to book 13, I think, so, you know, not sure, but I'm sure it gets super complicated. That is one thing that J.R. Ward does well, the world building. It pulls you in. And it's not complicated to the point where you don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And obviously the characters, you get attached, you get little snippets and you're intrigued. They're mysterious. You're like, okay, I want to know. I want to know what this person's story is. So obviously you're hooked. You keep reading. The dynamic between the brothers is really funny. They're all like razzing each other, but you can tell they really care about each other and look out for each other. Obviously. This book is cheesy as hell and dated, but it's almost like nostalgia, like how you had mentioned earlier, watching like an early aughts movie and being like, oh, but then also cringing.
Yeah, like Butch, he's a young detective, but he talks like he's some kind of washed up, like 50-year-old beat cop, you know, like, oh, they're giving me the runaround, baby. And it's like,
what? Oh my God. I forgot you text me. Hold on. You text me something. Okay. So we were texting while we were listening, reading. So we were talking about the narration and you said, it's like being narrated by a beatnik cop. And then you said, don't come any closer, baby, or I just might have to kiss you.
It's like, who talks like that?
Butch does, and
Yes.
this is why we love him. Which brings me to my biggest favorite, my main favorite part. Butch, oh motherfucking Neil, I love him so much. Like, his back must be hurting so bad from carrying this story on it. Like, he is what bring he. I feel like he's the glue that holds everything together. He's the comedic relief. He's a sympathetic character. He's like the relatable human character. Not knowing what's going on, you kind of like on this journey with him because you do get his point of view. I just really wanted to know more about him, and I was never, anytime it came up to his POV, I was like, "Ooh, Butch is back." He is my favorite. He's hilarious. I honestly enjoyed his bits more than like Beth and Wrath.
Well, it's kind of interesting because you know, it's obviously starts off as almost like kind of like a love triangle, but like one sided.
Yeah.
So like, oh, you know, Butch. He's not good with women. You hear about his exploits with other women that he's hooking up with. And then, you know, he has a thing for Beth. He goes for it, shoots a shot. It doesn't get returned. But, like, obviously, he cares about Beth as a person. So she's going through this thing. And it's like, okay, so he's not a love interest. He's not really a best friend or a sidekick. So, like, throughout the story, he's just always there. And I'm like, wow, Butch is still with us. Wow, the vampires are going to let him stay. Oh, wow, they invited him out to the club. Like, he's going. Like, he saved Beth when he thought she was having some kind of crazy drug overdose. Like, found out Marissa was a vampire and was even more turned on by it. Like, you know, questioning his own morals. He's just on it for the ride. And I would, like, the first half of the book, I was, like, really questioning his
why is Butch here
role. Yeah, I kept his, like, questioning his role in this story of like, why is he still here? And then it was like, it kind of got to a point where I was like, well, I'm glad he's still here because he's really he's really making this experience more enjoyable. And
yeah,
we all have a little Butch inside of us.
one of my favorite parts is when Butch meets Marissa and he is so bamboozled by her beauty. And at this point, he doesn't know they're vampires. And like you said, are you real? What did you say?
Are you real? And she's like, yeah, I'm real. And it was something like, how can I prove it to you or whatever? And he's like, can I touch your hair? It's like, do you?
What?
I mean, at least he asked.
Yeah.
And didn't just reach for it. But I was like,
sir. So it was so funny, their interactions, because Marissa is also a very
sheltered,
sad character. You know, basically Rath's just been using her as a blood bag this whole time. She thought they were going to have more. She thought that's what she was born for, was to be his Shellen, and they were going to fall in love and live happily ever after. No, she's still stuck living with her bag of dicks. Dr. Brother Havers, fucking, don't even get me started on that fucker. She's stuck with him. She doesn't have any kind of social life because of the position she's in with Wrath. It kind of, some people look
off,
down
she's
on
she's off
her.
Limits too.
Yeah, so she's off limits. So she's, I think she is a virgin. Because I think Butch was like, and she's like, I have not been touched by a male and blah, blah, blah. How dare you?
He's like, oh, you've probably been tossed about all these ruffians. And she's like, I'll have you know.
And
he was like, oh shit, I'm sorry.
He's basically saying all this super insulting shit to her, but he thinks she's a sex worker, so he's like, all right, how much do I have to pay for you to drop the act and blah blah blah, but not like in a skeevy bad way. He's just kind of like, no, I really like you, like I want to know the real you. And
it's like they're having two different conversations.
Yes. And she's just the whole time, she's like, what do you mean? What do you mean? I mean, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about? And she is so sheltered and she has no experience with this kind of thing. So she
and
has
very
no
insecure.
Yeah, she's very insecure. She's very just unexperienced in life as a whole, and especially with men or males, I should say. So she has it takes her forever to catch on to what he's saying. And then she finally does. She goes off on him and he's like, oh my god, I'm so sorry. And she's like, well, I guess it's fine. He's like, wow, you must really like me. After I just insulted the bejesus out of you and you're still around, you still want to have anything to do with me. So then this whole exchange happens and you're just dying inside laughing the whole time reading it. And then you feel bad for Marissa because it's like this might be her one shot. Because Butch doesn't care about Rat. If he wants Marissa, he's gonna go for it. He's gonna go for Marissa. He doesn't give a shit. He already got into like several different fisticuffs with Wrath at this point. He doesn't care. He has nothing to lose.
Butch is
So
like, I'm gonna be here as long as they'll let me. So if I die tomorrow, I'm gonna die shooting my shot.
pretty much, yeah. And I mean, it's admirable. You're like, hell yeah, Butch.
Like, I lost my job. I have no family or friends. Like, no one even knows or cares that I'm missing.
I have no
And I have this
prospects.
beautiful woman in front of me.
Who's giving me the
Whatever.
time of day? Like I gotta go. I gotta go for it. Go big or go home. JK, I don't really have a home anymore. Here we go. So, oh, I love him. He has enormous golden retriever energy.
Yeah.
But yeah, so then at the end of this exchange, Marissa dematerializes. And he it's like, what the fuck? And then all go, what? And oh, I forgot to mention, vampires have a mind control to an extent. They can wipe the memories of humans. Wrath couldn't wipe Butch's memory.
Oh, that's right.
Obviously, it's a problem. And Butch is just like these drug dealers, da 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 da. Then Marissa's ass has no idea that he doesn't know.
Well, because during this time when he meets Marissa, like, it's when the whole time Beth is like, I'm fine, I'm fine. This guy is not a bad guy like you. I mean, he's a bad guy, but he's not a bad guy like you think he's a bad guy. And then she goes home for whatever reason. And then that's when she starts going through her transition. And then Butch brings her to the house
Yeah.
and is just hanging out downstairs while her and Wrath are upstairs going through the whole transition. And I think that's when he
I
has
think
the
so.
encounter with Marissa. She
Yeah.
dissipates and he's like, oh, maybe it wasn't like a drug overdose. What
Well, he
the fuck is
freaks
going
out.
on
Yeah,
here?
no, he flips his shit at first. He's just looking around. They come out and he's like, where'd she fucking go? And then the vampires are like, oh shit. And at that point, I think they realize that they can't wipe his memory. Like, his mind's too strong. So then they're like, all right, what are we gonna do with him? We gonna kill him? Or. And then Rat's like, oh, Marissa's intrigued by you. You lucked out.
Also, Beth said not to kill you, so I guess I won't. But if you get my way, I will. But for now, I won't.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, Marissa likes you. She deserves some happy. So, all right, fine. But you got it. Basically, like, he's with them. Like, he's staying with them. He knows about them. They keep him close
He's sharing a room.
with Vicious. We all love Butch. Okay. Least favorite part.
So I know this probably should have been like a really nice scene, but I didn't like their wedding. So,
Okay.
in the sense that it all just seemed really rushed. It was like after Beth went through her transition or whatever, and I don't know, can they read each other's minds or something? Or does she have a power we haven't discovered yet? I must have missed the part in the conversation. Anyway, she just looks up at him and is like, yes. And he's like, what do you mean, yes? And she's like, yes, I will marry you. And then all of a sudden they're getting married. It just felt very sudden. Maybe that's how they do it. So it just for a group of people who seem like they have like these traditions and roles and like ways of honoring things and people, I just felt like someone would have filled Beth in on those things, but no,
Oh, like the
like,
name carving.
well, like, no, he didn't prepare her. I mean,
Yeah.
she didn't need shoes because that was like part of the ceremony. But and I thought it was nice that Wellesley let her borrow her dress, but it's like I for sure thought Wrath would have taken. I mean, like Fritz helped her get a dress for their date. Like Wrath couldn't help her get a dress for their wedding.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, so like, she has no idea like what they're saying until they're like, all right, now, from now on we're going to be speaking in English so she can understand, like, how very nice of you. And then Yeah, she goes to like reach for the scribe virgin and everyone freaks the fuck out. And Wrath is like, oh, my bad. I didn't tell her. And it's like, for as much as you guys have, this is a like, you know what happens, A, B, and C, you should have given her a heads up.
Yeah, you're not allowed to question the scribe virgin, by the way.
Oh, well, I can see that. She kind of creeps me out a little bit. I know she's supposed to be the good guy, but she's just, I don't know, there's something weird about her. Because there's something that happened at the end of the book, and I was like, okay, what's her angle here? But we'll get to that. And then, yeah, like with the carving on the back, and everyone's like, you want your man to be a warrior, right? Like, you got to sit there and watch him. And it's like, you know, she probably would have been a little more okay with it if she knew it was going to happen. Like, did everything have to be a surprise for her wedding? I mean, but that's just a footnote in the least favorite parts. Just kidding. The
Continue.
toxic masculinity,
Oof.
least favorite part.
Oof.
And I know this is like a thing with not like a thing, but you know, with any kind of like not paranormal supernaturals, like the males and females, but it was just very like female
Exaggerated.
heavy. Yeah, the way that the women were treated in this series, especially Marissa, like it just really bothered me. Like
Oh,
Marissa is
yeah.
already kind of like a sad character where, you know, she just had it really rough, and then like Wrath just kind of was like, all right, well, I found my own female, so you're free, I guess. And then she goes back to her brother, and he's kind of a dick to her.
Ugh.
Like, she has no real freedom. And then like when she starts making moves for herself, like I like Butch and I'm happy that they had this interaction, but it almost felt too like she was so desperate to be loved and not used that, like, the first guy to show her decent attention, she's like, oh, you think I'm beautiful? And it's like, no. I mean, yes, but like, no.
No, yeah, it
We all want this for you, but like, not just because he's there and he's nice. Like, it just
yeah.
made me like even more sad for her that she was so desperate. And then like all this self.
Self-loathing.
Yes, that's what it is.
Yes.
Yeah, even Wrath is like, I was pitiful. I hid. And Beth is like, well, yeah. And he's like, how could you even look at me? I was weak. And she's like, I mean, but understandably, like if you went out, like you would have died, and like that would have been the end of you. There are reasons for doing things, and you know, it's just, no, I'm a piece of shit. And it's like,
I
she's
know.
telling you she still loves you and does not
Stop
think less of
it.
you. You know, the hiding that he was blind and stuff. It just, you know, it you feel bad for him. Like obviously he's been through a lot, but it's like this woman is giving you a chance. Just, I don't know. It was just a lot with these fellas. Like they would not, if you were hanging out at their house and everyone had had a few drinks, it would be a really sad time, you know?
Bunch of Debbie Downers.
Yes. But then they mask it with like, ugh, you have feelings? Gross.
Lame.
So yeah.
Oh my God.
So what are some of your least favorite parts? Because I know there's more than one.
Absolutely. I agree with the infantilizing Marissa. Good Lord, that poor woman. Like that poor
Just leave
female,
her
I should say.
alone. Yeah.
Just let her go do what she wants. And then Haver's locking her up because he thinks that she's still being Wrath's personal blood bag or whatever, blood bank, whatever. But I'm just kind of sitting there and it's like,
And
why
she tried
do you
to tell her.
care? Why do you care? He's like, oh, it's an offense to our family and my sister, she's so beautiful and pure, and he should be so lucky and blah blah blah. And it just bordered on creepy to me.
Like, do you love your sister like
Yeah,
more
and then
than a brother should?
he locks her up and won't let her out of her room to keep her from going to Wrath because that's who he thinks she's going to see. And it's like, but you see, back like they do treat, and that's like another thing how you said you don't like how they treat the female characters. They're treated like property.
Yeah.
So Marissa is really treated like an object and property, even by her own brother.
Like it goes beyond, like, even so, like, obviously Wrath doesn't have any emotional connection to him. It's a relationship out of necessity. But even like the way that he talks to Beth after they get together in the beginning, like he does get better by the end of the book, but like, it just goes beyond of like my woman. It's like my woman, my property. The amount of times that he tries to tell her, you can't do this, that almost like that's an order.
She even jokes about it. She even jokes about it after he gets shot and he's nearly on his deathbed. And she's like, oh, ha, look at him. So cute. Trying to boss me around even from his deathbed. And it's like, is it though?
Not cute, not a good look.
I do think as the series goes on, I want to say there are, which isn't to say Beth is like a weak female character. She's kind
No,
of
she
like,
puts her foot down.
yeah, I would say she's middle of the road, like she's not really, but at the same time, like she fought off an attacker. She's working in a world of men trying to hit on her and shit, and she stands her ground and she's like, no, no thanks.
Right, like she's
She's,
like, I'm gonna walk alone at night, like,
yeah, like
even though
Beth.
I know it's dangerous.
I think Beth gets a lot of hate.
I never disliked her. I
But
mean,
no,
even.
she's just kind of middle of the road for me. She's like middle ground for me. Like I don't I she's not my favorite, but she's not my least favorite. Like she's okay. Like I feel like she's a decent character. And as the story goes on, she's more involved with other things and like she cares about her family. She care which the Black Dagger Brotherhood. She cares about all of them as family, and that's shown when she takes care of Rage after his
Yeah.
tummy ache after he turns into a fucking dragon and eats lessers. She gives
Fun.
him some, what is it, Alka-Seltzer.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. But no, like I do know there are female characters in the series as it goes on that are kind of like Marissa, like inexperienced and just no experience, really, no real world experience at all. And they're just kind of figuring it out as they go, which you have to give them that grace. You have to give them that space to grow.
Yeah.
Like they've basically been held in captivity. They don't know how to act. They've been taught their whole lives, like, be seen and not heard. And, so they're trying to figure it out.
Like you have a
But
purpose, and then now they have to find out what their new purpose is, basically.
yeah. And I know I'm probably guilty of it too. Like if I'm a mood reader, so if I'm in a mood and I'm reading a book, I'm like, this fucking bitch.
Yeah,
Like,
that's true.
you just get annoyed. But honestly, I just felt bad for Marissa. Marissa doesn't annoy me. I just feel genuinely bad for her character.
Yeah, I never disliked any of them.
Yeah, no. And there definitely are more assertive, strong, badass female characters as the series goes on, which brings up the misogyny. The misogyny in this book, my God. Homophobia, transphobia. You already talked about the toxic masculinity. But yeah, one of the biggest things I didn't like, the cultural appropriation that is very clearly happening, the very negative stereotyping that is happening. Oh, we listen to hardcore rap. Oh, we're thugs. Da da da. And it was just kind of like, this is unnecessary and this is offensive. Like, what the hell? Like a white woman wrote this. All the characters are white, which ironically enough, I didn't when I read this series, I don't know if I necessarily thought of them as all white. I just assumed they're like this ancient race and stuff
They
that
talk about this old language, and it's like, well, English isn't that old of a language compared to other parts of the world, so it would make sense if they were,
from a
not
different part of
white.
the world. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was like, wow, this is really bad. What the hell? Now, I will say this book is almost 20 years old. No, it doesn't make it right. And it's so weird because I don't think there are many series that last this long.
I was going to say, when you said you got to 13 books, I mean, if these started coming out in 2005, that's like almost 20 years of like telling this story. So you would
But
have to think you change.
yeah, here we are 19 years later. I would like to maybe read one of the more current releases, see if anything's been adjusted. I mean, and I'm a cis white woman. I can't really speak on it. So
Yeah.
I mean, I would hope that J.R. Ward has corrected this.
I mean, I will say when I first started reading or listening to this book, I was like, man, you can definitely tell this is dated and it was written by a white man. And then I looked up the author and I was like, oh my God, was I wrong? Half wrong, but
it's a woman.
It almost made it worse for me. Yeah. Like, ugh. Not that it would have been more forgiving if it was a man, but it, like, the way the female characters were written, and then just the, you know, like all the toxic masculinity stuff and the misogyny and everything. I was like, wow, that was a twist.
Yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot. I would like to think that the author, you know, realized her issue, and as the books went on, she corrected things and made it right. But I don't know. I can't say. I haven't read them all. So even though this is one of my long time series that I've read and I really enjoyed it, it also, I'm greatly disappointed in it.
Yeah, it's not lost on us.
What the fuck moment?
When Wrath shows up at Beth's house and they fuck. That was just like, I don't know. It's like, this is setting the tone for the book, I see. I don't know. It was surprising. And then the other one was when he told Beth to shut up on their date. The way I would have flipped that table.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Because I think it's like right after she tells me, oh, don't tell me what to do. And he's like, oh, let me correct myself. Sit down and shut up. And it's like, ooh.
Well, he was like opening up to her, and she's like, wow, he's not a big scary asshole like I thought he was. And then he's getting like teased by his brothers for maybe having feelings for this girl. And he's like, no, like when she transitions, like I'm out of the picture, even though they had this like crazy sex. And he was like, oh, I gave her first orgasm. Aw. Shut up. Just shut up. So he tells her to shut up. And now she's like, okay, no, he was the asshole that I thought he was. Great. Because he's hiding from his feelings. So that was kind of like not cool. What were your what the fuck moments?
Okay, same, you know, sleeping with a man that broke into your place and almost killed your friend. Yeah, you know.
Didn't question much.
Little what the fuck. Yeah, I mean, I was like, yeah, girl. But at the same time, maybe stop and think about it for a second.
Ask a few questions first. Like what's your name?
What's your name?
How did you get here? Do you know who I am?
God. But yeah, my other what the fuck moment. So obviously, Darius getting blown up from the get-go.
Yeah, just turn into pink mist.
I was like, oh, okay. But then especially at the end, when he's basically getting a do-over, he asks the scribe virgin. He's basically in their version of heaven. Scribe virgin is like their creator, their god, essentially. So he's in the fade. In the fade. The fade is like heaven. So, or like where they go when they die. So he asks the scribe virgin basically for a do-over, because he wants to be in Beth's life and he feels really bad that he's not able to like be there for her. And the scribe virgin's like, all right, but you're not gonna remember her at all, and da 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 da.
Well, it was kind of confusing. So like at the end, when he's going through this whole thing and she's like, oh, do you want this? And he's like, yeah, that'd be great. She's like, okay, take a minute. And he's like, no, I want to do this. She's like, okay.
Where does Beth get it from?
Yeah,
red flags.
I don't know. Maybe if they have like angry sounding names.
The names.
Like there's a point where Butch is like, God, Wrath, Vicious, Fury, Torment. Like you're not going to get someone named Greg, but then they also wouldn't be very scary.
Herman, Howard.
Right? What would your red flags be?
Wears a lot of leather.
And is also a very large man.
Yeah. Huge. Wears a lot of leather, is a vampire, breaks into your apartment, is a misogynist.
Yeah.
But really the main red flag is if he were to say pimp juice unironically.
Yeah.
Biggest
steer
red flag.
Clear. Steer clear.
All right. Is there something to be learned from this book that applies to daily life?
Maybe like learn a little bit more about the people that you're getting involved with. Like, mm-hmm. Beth was really good about taking things in stride, but she didn't, like, she asked questions, but I would have thought, like, as a journalist, she would have asked more.
Yeah, that's fair,
like,
as, yeah.
For someone who's, like, investigative, I thought she would have been like, tell me. Well, he also wasn't, like, always forthcoming with things. I mean, she watched him eat his food, like, the Fritz, like, cut up all his meat for him, and she's like, something's not right here, but I'm not going to ask about it. Like, I would.
Oh, I don't want to offend him.
His little fragile ego.
Listen here, I'd be like, full offense. What the fuck?
Yeah, it's like, what's going on here? What would something to be learned?
Some men just really hate women for no fucking reason. So Mr. X, and this is where we're going to get more into Mr. X. He's the leader of the little lesser group in their area. He literally, he goes around murdering sex workers. And so lessers are impotent. They lose function of their faculties. They're kind of like undead almost. They lose like the pigment in their skin and their hair. He says when he's going after that, the first sex worker, he talks about, oh, well, now that I'm a lesser, I can't get it up anymore. But I pick her because she's who I would have picked if I could. And I'm going to kill her. And it's like he was mad that he couldn't have sex anymore. So since he can't have sex, he's just going to murder women. And it's like, what the fuck? It is a what the fuck moment, but also it's like a lesson. It's just like, wow, just damn.
It's like, find something more productive to do with your time.
Right? Get over it. But yeah, I just remember reading that and just being like, oh my God, just leave the women alone. Just go away. Do you have a spicy snippet you'd like to share about this book?
How did Rath survive getting a melon-sized hole shot through his stomach? Because that was something that was kind of interesting. Like, some of these vampires can age, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they can die. It's not like,
yes,
oh, you're immortal unless this one substantial thing happens to you. Like, they can, like, die from gunshot wounds and stuff.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When Rath gets shot, it's mentioned that he has, like, a melon-sized hole in his stomach. And it kind of, this is a little bit comical, but it kind of reminded me of In Death Becomes Her when she gets shot.
Oh!
I'm sure, yes. It wasn't like that. I'm sure it was just, like, a big gash in his stomach, yes. And not all the way through him. But still, the size of a melon, even a small melon, that's a pretty hefty wound.
Well, there was no salt around.
So. There's no salt around. And then, like, I did kind of feel bad for Beth because she tried to give him her blood and it wasn't enough. I think he did have to end up getting fed from Marissa.
Yeah.
To, like, save him. But it's just, like, that's a pretty intense wound to survive.
Mm-hmm.
But he did.
He's a big, tough vampire. So macho.
Oh, and then as soon as he can, like, sit up, he's like, all right, I'm ready to fuck. She's like, you have to be able to sit up. What's your spicy snippet?
I don't know why I still like this series, honestly. Oh, God, I need therapy. I need therapy, Danny. It's serious. Also, not only do I still find it enjoyable somehow, I've read 13. I've read 13 of these books.
I mean, it is a quick read, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
You know, you can get through them. It's not like a super heavy-handed, like, thick book.
No. It's time for the speed round. Danny, who would you want to be besties with and why?
Wellesley. She seems like a good, like, person to, what's the word I'm looking for, confide in, and also, like, has as a guide through all this. She's kind of the only one who really, like, helps Beth with
Yeah.
like some of the behind the scenes stuff that Rath just keeps failing to
Mention.
tell her about. You know, Wellesley's like, don't worry, girl, I got you. You can borrow my dress. We'll talk, just us girls. I'll make sure you're okay. And I believe that's Torment's mate.
Yes.
Who would you want to be besties with and why?
Butch, obviously. Also, he needs someone just to tell him no. Just be like, chill. Stop embarrassing yourself. For the love of God, I can't go through this with you. It's too much. It's making me sweaty. Who do you want to throat punch and why?
Billy.
Ugh.
I'm kind of mad that I know he had a role in the story, but it's like after Butch roughed him up, I was like, all right, that's the end of that. And then he just kept showing up with his little sensei bullshit. And it's like, oh, you're still here? Whereas Butch, it's like, oh, Butch is still here. It's like, ugh, Billy's still here. And then
Yeah.
Havers.
Ugh.
Havers just pissed me off. It's like, if you really wanted to do right by your sister, you are not doing that. You're doing the opposite.
He's so far up on his high horse, thinks he's better than everybody.
He took everything so personally without finding out what was actually going on. And like Marissa
Yeah.
kept trying to tell him, and he's like, you were late for dinner. Go to your room.
Oh, and then, Mr. X, obviously, Billy. And, honestly, like a throat punch, like probably almost every male in this book at some point, I'm sure.
Deserves at least one.
At least one, each of them. Who would you want on your side in a fight and why?
Butch. Good old Butch. You
Butch.
know, he would be there for me if I needed him to. No questions asked.
Yeah.
He would take me to my drug dealer boyfriend's house if I was dying, if I asked him to.
Man, I fucking love Butch.
He just kept showing up for the right reasons, so he's okay in my book.
Yeah.
Who would you want on your side in a fight and why?
I'm gonna go with Rage. He turns into basically like he turns into a dragon, I think. And so if anyone pissed me off, he'd go into a rage. Rage goes into a rage and turns into a dragon, and he just eats whoever pissed me off. No evidence. Works out perfectly.
That is a good quality to have in a
Yeah.
fighting buddy.
Who would you cast for these characters or give them zodiac signs?
Was looking for like actors who could maybe fit these roles. Ella Purnell.
Yes.
She looks like she could be kind of wholesome like Beth, but also find her way into this greedy world. And then the other
Yeah.
guy, Charles Melton, he was in, I knew him from Riverdale, but he's been, I'm noticing him like everywhere now.
I love him.
And he kind of fits that, like he could be kind of gruff, but also like there's a softer side there. And he's kind of like a big dude. So I feel like he
Yeah.
could really play a rough, aggressive guy, but then also like is sweet and tender with like Beth and stuff.
Like a grouchy softy.
Yeah.
Okay,
And
I love that.
I think she's like 27 and he's like 33, so it's a little older than I think what the characters are supposed to be, but
You can age them up, it doesn't matter.
yeah. But and they, I think they would also kind of look good next to each other.
Okay.
Who did you cast or do zodiac signs for?
Okay, let me. All right, I sent you pictures.
Ooh.
So,
Oh, I love him.
for Wrath, I went with Taye Diggs, if I'm not
So
mistaken.
handsome.
Oh my gosh, I know. So, I think he's on Private Practice, I'm pretty sure. He's in tons of stuff. He has that grouchy, stoic, serious, but a softy deep down energy. And I feel like with this role, he could do a lot with this role. I think he could really make Wrath lovable, but still, don't worry, still macho, but definitely more funny, more lovable. And then for Beth, I don't know why, but I kept getting stuck on Vanessa Hudgens.
I did come across her and oh my gosh, she's also in Riverdale.
Veronica.
Yes.
Yes. Ooh.
She also was like a someone I thought about.
So Vanessa Hudgens is mainly known from High School Musical. She's taken serious roles before and she's done very well with them. I know she's not that tall. I think they could do a lot with the roles.
Oh, for sure.
What reality show would these characters be on?
So I also had to do a little research on this too, because I didn't want to do like I was trying to find something that would like fit this world. So when I was Googling like what like new reality shows and stuff, one of them that came up was Families of the Mafia.
Oh my gosh.
And it was the description was something like this guy has to decide like if he wants to like take on the role of the family life or if he's gonna like walk away from the duties or whatever. I don't know. But
Reality show. You can't. What?
it just sounded ridiculous. And I was like, yeah, even though this isn't the mafia, and I don't know a lot about the mafia, there obviously is some kind of like brotherhood
Yeah.
hierarchy. Rath doesn't want to be king, but in the end, he gets told this is your role now. And then he tells, is it Rage? Like, or Torment? Like,
Think
you are
it's
now
Torment.
the leader of the Brotherhood. I'm king now. Whether you want it or not, this is how it is. And so it's kind of like they all kind of start embracing this new thing, and there's drama and stuff. So I feel like I haven't watched the show, so I'm probably wrong, but in my little world, I would put them in the mafia reality show
Yeah,
for the
okay.
family.
Yeah, I like
What about
that.
you?
So, have you ever seen The Real Housewives?
Yes. Ben said that one when I was doing my book report earlier.
Yeah, the Real Housewives of Caldwell. That is the show they're all on, including all the other brothers. I could see it with all their other Shellens and whatnot. Oh my gosh.
Right.
The drama.
I love it.
That's what we think. Let's see what some other people think. I've got some Goodreads reviews here. We're gonna go low to high. Starting with Mimi. I couldn't, in good conscience, not set this book on fire if it hadn't been a library book. Magnus gave it 1 star. Not badly written, but absolutely no originality and strictly zero nutritional value. I've painfully read the first 1.5, I'm stubborn, Black Dagger Brotherhood books, and man, was it ridiculous. Everyone is, quote, so muscular and rudy. And female characters behave like priapic squirrels with an IQ of approximately minus 40. Just no.
Ooh.
Cat gave it 1 star. You have got to be kidding me. What author names her main characters the members of the incredibly dark and dangerous Black Dagger Brotherhood of Vampire Warriors? Inhales. Wrath, Torment, Vicious, Rage, Fury, and Zadist. Listen, we're not even getting into the spelling because Wrath is the only one that's spelled correctly. Well, not correctly, but
Well,
typically.
Fury is like Phury.
Yes. And
If
Rage has an H.
and Vicious is
Vishous.
like I'll be honest, if I didn't listen to the audiobook, I probably would have been pronouncing these names
Wrong.
way wrong.
Oh,
Like
yeah.
this is Vicious.
Vishous.
or Fury. This is Fury, not Fury. Like when I was looking up quotes and like seeing how their names were spelled, I was like, oh, this is creative. Kind of like that, like when they make fun of like white people cooking, it's like everyone's so creative.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's
A lot of people can't get past the names, and that's fine. Dino Jess gave it 2 stars. Reading this book for a second time made me take up day drinking. No shit. Ren gave it 2 stars. I couldn't stop imagining Wrath as Steven Seagal. LMAO, I played myself.
That's amazing.
Ah. Maddie gave it 3 stars. Well, this was a book. It was enjoyable. There was vampires. Robin gave it 3 stars. I described this one as utterly bonkers, and I'm going to stand by it. A mashup of urban fantasy and romance. I can see what draws people to love this series, but I'm afraid that it didn't get its hooks into me just yet. Just wait. Tweebs gave it 4 stars. This is everything Twilight failed to be. Woo! That's our theme. Still a better love story than Twilight. It is.
No,
It
yeah.
is.
Yeah. There's only like a handful of characters in the Twilight series. I'll be honest, like two that I would like want to know more about versus
Rosalie.
like Rosalie and Alice,
Yeah.
pretty much. Those are the only two I really cared about.
Yeah.
Versus this series, while they all need therapy,
Yeah, you still want to
I still
know.
want to like learn about them and hope for brighter futures for all of them.
Anya H gave it 4 star. I'm even coming dangerously close to loving this. Even though the names of most of the male characters, Wrath, Fury, Vicious, Rage, Do I Need to Go On, sound like vampire versions of Magic Mike strippers. I'm also usually not into the whole sex at first meeting kind of stuff, but this story had so much depth that I didn't even mind. I mean, sex at first sight, basically, is, yep. It's on sight! Zoe Stewart gave it 5 stars. My mom made me read this one. She raved constantly about it, and honestly, I'm glad I picked it up. It was one of the cheesiest books I've ever read, but fuck if I didn't love it. Mercedes gave it 5 stars. Why have I waited so long to read this? I think I'm in love with Zadist. Can't wait for his book. Well, he's the third, so you don't have to wait long. Okay, big moment. How many and what kind of phallic symbol would you rate this book?
So I'm gonna do daggers because that's the theme, the daggerhood.
Hold on.
Don't come for me. I'm torn between giving it 2.75 or 3 stars. It has a lot of potential in the way that you talk
Yeah.
about the rest of the series. It makes me want to learn more about the other characters. It's the datedness of it, but we went into that before. And also at some points it felt like a little disjointed of like, oh, why are we ta like back on this character or whatever. And honestly, it all comes together at the end, but
Yeah, it's a lot.
I liked it. I think I could have liked it more, if things were a little different. So I guess I'll go 2.75 for me personally, but I
Yeah,
did like it.
that's a normal rate. I don't give a shit if you don't like the book I like. I don't give a
You're
shit.
not going to be my friend anymore.
That's it. It's over. Because you didn't like this book that
I
says
did
temp juice.
like it 'cause I could see it being a movie or like a
Oh,
TV
yeah.
series. How many daggers would you give it?
I'm gonna give it 3.5 daggers because this is definitely not the strongest entry in the series, but it's the starter. It definitely has issues that we discuss. So, you have to deduct for that. But the world building, the characters, Wolf, why are you under my bed? I just see the tip of her tail hanging out. But yeah, I mean, there are definitely issues with it. I don't know why. I still liked it.
Yeah.
And now it is time for the bi-weekly boner. And this week's boner is of the lady variety and is straight from the source material. This was really written. This is in this book, guys. All right. Her core bloomed for him when I heard that line. I cackled so hard. I was like, what? This isn't a historical romance. What is happening? Why would you write this? This is a classic line that you would normally find in a historical romance because all vaginas are delicate flowers.
Of course. Or they have teeth.
Or they're molten, like the core of the earth.
Oh, yeah. I was gonna say there's another part in the book, or I think it's with Butch and Marissa, where he was, or maybe it was with Wrath and Beth. I don't know. At some point, one of the guys is like, I could smell the sex coming off of her. And I'm like, what?
Oh, oh yeah, and then he does the whole, oh, you taste like peaches, and it's like vaginas do not taste like peaches. All right, so yes, all vaginas are delicate flowers that bloom, or like a fucking Venus flytrap. It's like, get them. That's the notorious noodle for this week. Let's move on to the question and poll. All right, I think we had a question earlier. Oh. Does the series, what was it? Does the series get better in regards to the problematic elements? We'll call it that. All right, so the question is, Do the books get less problematic? May I'm gonna say maybe, hopefully.
Yeah,
That's what I would
hopefully.
hope. All right, and then the poll. Which brother is your favorite? We've got Wrath, Rage, Vicious, Fury, Zadist, and Butch Counts. I don't care what you say.
They took him in. He
He's an
counts.
honorary member. We did it.
We did it. This was fun.
How did you feel about your first dark, smutty vampire romance?
I mean, I could see getting into more of them. It's not like I've read vampire stuff, but not like this. It's a world I think worth getting to know,
Well,
and I could see reading more like this.
thanks for coming back.
Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
And you're going to be back one final time for season three. We're going to wrap it up with the new, our next Bridgerton to Sir Philip with love. Join me back here in 2 weeks for our next read, A Lady of Rooksgrave Manor by Catherine Moon.
And
And
remember
remember to
to
fix
fix each
each other's
other's
crowns
crowns
and
and don't
don't
let
let
the
the
dicks
dicks
get
get
you
you
down.
down. Toodles.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can do so by rating and reviewing on Apple Podcasts or liking, subscribing, and following on whatever platform you're listening on. Not enough action for you? You can follow Turgid Tomes Podcast on Instagram, like the Facebook page, or join the Goodreads group where you can chat with other listeners, lurk tawdry reviews, and get a heads up on what we're reading and drinking. If you have any suggestions or feedback, you can send it to turgidtomes@gmail.com. And last but not least, remember to fix each other's crowns and don't let the dicks get you down.